Chapter 5, if you would. We're continuing our study here on the wonder-working power. That Christ is a God of miracles. He wants to do wondrous things in our lives. And in every miracle that Christ performs, there is a lesson for instruction. You see, a lot of times He'll perform a miracle for an individual, but there's instruction for those that are viewing and watching and seeing, which puts us into that category. And there's a recorded miracle here in John chapter 5. We're all probably familiar with this time here, that God is going to heal one man in particular. And it's an exciting story, I think. I love the story that God has laid out here and recorded for us. He has arrived at Jerusalem. There's a feast taking place. And he enters in at, it's interesting, he actually comes in through what they call the sheep gate, which is where they would bring all the little lambs that they would be using to bring in for the sacrifice. And there's where he will be, is right in that area where here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who comes through the sheep gate into this area. And he's making preparation to perform something here. And in John chapter 5, we look here at verse number 1. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews. Those people are always feasting, aren't they? They have to be Baptists and their doctors, probably with fried chicken there and all kinds of good stuff. But it says, after there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Wow. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, what man is this which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he said unto he that he was healed, wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Good place to find somebody who's been made whole, amen? He finds him in the temple and said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. As Jesus enters into Jerusalem and comes into the sheep market, the Bible tells us that there's this pool of water that was known as the Pool of Bethesda. I like the name Bethesda, and I'll tell you in a minute why. But there's this Pool of Bethesda, and the Pool of Bethesda has five porches that go around it. And the Bible tells us that there is a great multitude of impotent folk there. People who were very, very sick. As a matter of fact, the word impotent means that they were without strength. They were sickly. They were very, very feeble. They were weak. He says some of the people had halt. That means they were crippled people who could not walk. Maybe they had to use crutches. They were limping. Whatever it may be, they were blind. There were people that were withered. If you ever seen anybody who has had a stroke, a severe stroke, their hand is withered up. And this says that this place is multitudes, a great multitude of people. I mean, it was packed out. So it had to be a fairly large place. And out of all these people, out of all this great multitude, out of all this sickness, Jesus chooses one. Jesus singles out one man who had suffered this infirmity, and he has had it for 38 years. Folks, that's a long time. I don't care how old you are, 38 years is a long time to have an infirmity. He had this infirmity longer than many here have even lived, and a good portion of all of our lives. And so we see that Jesus selects this one man out, this one man who has had this sickness for 38 years. Now, this is not necessarily in my notes, but when we read the scriptures, it appears that when Jesus met him again in the temple after healing him, told him to go and sin no more. As a matter of fact, he makes it very clear, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more." And then he makes a very incredible statement, "Lest a worse thing come unto thee." I personally believe, and I could be wrong, but I personally believe that this man's sickness was because of sin. I believe he had been judged by God. Sometimes God chastens us, and God brings things into our life to bring us to a place or a state of simply being helpless. And I think he had done something in his life, and that this was a punishment, whatever it may have been. And God intervened and healed him, and he reminded him, don't do any more sinning, because a worse thing will come. So evidently a worse thing that would come, I don't know what it would be. But he gave him a special warning here. I want us to look at three things here tonight that I hope will help us as we go through this study here in this wonder-working power miracle. The first thing we want to notice, this man, is that the Bible doesn't give him a name. But it does tell us that he has a weakness. So there's the first thing. We see his weakness. And in John chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, that man we see here is absolutely helpless. Evidently, this infirmity that he had caused him to lay down. He couldn't even maybe get up and walk. He couldn't crawl. He probably had to drag himself because he had his bed there constantly. And so there is this great weakness, and he has no man, he says clearly, to help him. He is a man who is hopeless, and he's a man who is helpless. And I want to tell you, that is actually a great picture of mankind today. That's a picture of you and me before we were saved by the grace of God. We had no hope, the Bible says, and we were helpless. We had nobody, nobody that could help us with our sickness of sin. This is a part of the condition that I believe that every person has, is a type of what Jesus is showing, that he has come to us and he showed us our helplessness, and by his grace we can be made whole. Folks, there are millions of people that are dying in our world without Christ. I was just reading and going through that Robert Conrad. Some of you will have no idea who he is. If you're over a certain age, you'll know who he is. I remember that there was a few shows that my dad used to watch, from Sea Hunt to Combat to Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and all those things. And in that was the Wild Wild West. Conrad. This guy was the cowboy. He was the guy. I mean, this guy, if you were to look him up, is a handsome, built man. He was the guy. Well, he died yesterday at the age of 84 with his arm shriveled up, and just, I told Althea, how can somebody that was such a handsome person end up looking like that? It's called the curse. We're all under the curse. He had eight children. He left eight children behind and 18 grandkids. And if he did not get saved, Robert Conrad is lifting up his voice in torment right now because he wasn't made whole. And he's probably praying, oh, send someone to go warn my eight children and my 18 grandchildren. Folks, this is a picture of this weakness, this area of helplessness is a picture of humanity. And some of us, we live that lifestyle. We might have been religious, but we are still lost. And we're trying all kinds of helps to get us to be made whole. And there's nothing and no one that can help us except Jesus Christ. Who is this that did this for you? He goes, I don't know who it was. And then they find out it was Jesus. Jesus is the only one. Jesus loves to change men's lives. Amen? I hope that He changed your life. Amen? I pray that He has raised you up. But I want you to understand, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, that Christ, it says that Christ died for the ungodly. But what He says before that is very, very interesting. He says, when we were yet without strength, we were helpless. Christ died for the ungodly. And folks, we need to realize that there are people that God has put in our path that are all around us, in the workplace, in our neighborhood, that are like this man of 38 years. And they've been this way a long time. We have a neighbor next door to us from our house. He's 50 years of age, or was 50 years of age. He and his wife married. They did not want to have any children because they wanted to live. This is what he told me. They want to live the party life. People get to make their choices, do they not? And he was a military vet. He was a paratrooper. He was a very, very big guy. Big guy, you know. He was just a huge guy. And he was a very loud, one of them guys that's just loud and has to stand right in front of you when he talks to you. And that's okay with me, but he drank all the time. So I was getting intoxicated by listening to him. And then he also had a problem that he used, every other word was an F-bomb. And so I had to kind of A, you know. And he would back down. And I wanted a witness of that guy. And so I waited, and it was Veterans Day. I went out and bought a gift card for him and his wife to go to Texas Roadhouse. I wanted to thank him for his service and give him a night out. So I went over there, and I went up to EJ, and I said, "Brother, friend, I want to give you this gift card as a thank you for your service to our country." And he was really appreciative of it. I said, "But I would do you wrong if I just gave you that." So I gave him a little booklet because he loves reading. It was called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment. I said, "Would you promise me to at least read this? I won't ever ask you about it again. If you have questions, you come to me. But would you at least promise me to read that?" He goes, "I will." I never heard back from him. I would see him from time to time, but I never heard back from him. One night I was got up to use the restroom, and I noticed that there was lights in our house. And I looked into the bathroom, and there was red lights flashing. And I opened up the window, and I looked. I thought, "Oh, man. It looks like a big old fire." It was an ambulance is what it was. Closed the window, woke her up, went around, and there was three cop cars out there, lights going. And watched and watched and watched and found out nothing, went back to bed, woke up the next morning, and there's a bunch of cars parked in front of the house and people outside smoking cigarettes. So I thought, "I'm going to go check it out." So I walk over there, and there was a guy that just got off his phone and smoking a cigarette. I said, "Is everything all right?" He goes, "No." He goes, "EJ's dead." This was how long after I'd given that? About 6-7 months after I'd given him and witnessed to him. About 6-7 months, he goes, "EJ is deceased." I said, "What happened?" He goes, "He was in an accident." I'm thinking a car accident. No, it wasn't. Him and a couple of his friends, they have a huge swimming pool out back, were out there drinking. They were drunk. He had a new gun with a new laser light on it, and they were shining it up in the tree. And as he was sitting there, the light came off and fell to the ground. And he was sitting in a chair, and when you're sitting down, as that thing came off, it fell between his legs, and being drunk, as he sat down, he had his hand on the trigger. When he went down to pick it up, he put it right there, and it automatically pulled the trigger and blew his head off. Folks, I don't know that he got saved and probably didn't. But we don't know how much time people have that God has placed us around to at least give them the opportunity to ask them, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? They have to make the decision. Is that not right? They have to make the choice. And here we see is this man's weakness, and we are in the same condition before we came to Christ, and there are millions of people that the porches are full, if you would, of impotent people without being made whole, which only Christ can do, and he has called us to go out and to share the good news. So we see this man's weakness. The second thing we see here, very important here, is this man's will. W-I-L-L. And I'm not talking about one of those things that you write out to leave all your things to. Understand that this man has suffered for 38 years. And now on his 38th year, and by the way, Jesus not only knows what's wrong with it, he knows how long we've been that way. It says, and Jesus knew he'd been that way a long time. Jesus knows about your situations and how long those situations have been going on. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that, folks. There's billions of people in this world, and God knows everyone's situation and how long we've been in these situations. All at the same time. He could sit there and pick us out and say, you've been in this situation for this long, you've been over here, this has been your concern for this long, and he could just go right on through everybody in the whole world passing by. He could point it out. And so here's this man who's been suffering for 38 years, and all of a sudden Jesus comes about, walks in, chooses him out of everybody else, and now this man has a decision to make. Christ asked him, look what it says in verse number 6. Christ asked him this question, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The man is being asked, do you want to change? The man now has to exercise, here's our letter reading back here. This man now has to exercise his will. I will. I will. I want to be made whole. You see, Jesus never forces himself on anybody. He says that I stand at the door and I patiently knock. If any man hear my, what? Voice. I'm amazed with when I study word studies. If you read Revelation, he says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And then he says, if any man hear my voice, you know what the Greek word is for voice? P-H-O-N-E. We get our English word phone. Isn't that crazy? I just get excited about it. We use all these English words and they come from the Greek. And Jesus is talking about hearing his voice. Answer the call, amen, is what it is. Answer the phone, you know. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you can hear my voice, answer the phone, if you would. Answer me. And so Jesus is asking this man, wilt thou be made whole? Christ is asking the question, and the question is designed in that man's heart to get him excited that there is hope. Remember, he is hopeless. It's offering and exciting something inside him that maybe there is a chance that I can receive help. He's hoping that he can. When I was presented with the gospel, nobody had to tell me and convince me that I was a sinner. This guy was living a wicked lifestyle when I met this young lady. And when she showed me the scriptures that I was condemned before God, I was not going to argue with her. I knew. I knew I was lost beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when I had the opportunity, wilt thou be made whole, Kevin? Would you like to be saved from the penalty of sin? I had a decision to make. And I said, I will. I would like that. And I received Christ as my Savior. Do you want your life to change? That's what he's asking this man. This is what we're trying to do when we reach out to people. They may be all kinds of different sicknesses of sin, but they're all without hope and they're all helpless and they need someone who can come. Remember what he says? The guy told him, he goes, I have no man. Now, I mean, it's an incredible story within itself because the pool of Bethesda was a pool of water. And the Bible tells us clearly that there was a time, a certain season, that water was just still. And at a certain season, man, they were all ready. When I grew up in California, we used to go to neighborhood swimming pools. And you'd swim and you'd have fun and you'd get out. And they'd always make you have a break. Everybody get out of the water. We're going to take a 10-minute or 15-minute break, whatever it was. And the water, after everybody got out, just mellowed out and was like ice. And everybody was waiting for the lifeguard to blow the whistle to get back in to see who could break the ice. We call it breaking the ice. Who's going to be the first one to jump in and hit the water and make it no longer smooth? That's what these people are doing. They're sitting around, laying around, standing around, waiting for that angel to come down and touch that water and begin it, cause it to ripple. First one in was whole, made whole. Y'all believe that story? You believe that was really happening? Or was it just a old wise fable? That's how I am too, Helen. It said it right there. I think it happened, amen? Jesus didn't deny it either, did he? I think that was, you know what that's a picture of, what we're seeing there? Bethesda, it was the pool of Bethesda. If I ever started a church, I would call it Bethesda Baptist. Because the word Bethesda means house of kindness. Man, I'll tell you, our churches need to be house of kindness. It's talking about mercy. It's talking about, you know what else it's talking about? People are being made whole here. That's kind, a house of kindness. That's a place to go to be made whole. But you know what? It said that it had five porches. And everybody was on those five porches. The number five in Scripture is the number of G-R-A-C-E, God's grace. It's the number of grace. So when Jesus walked there, he understood the grace of God. He understood that it was a house of kindness. And we see his working in all of these things. And so he comes and he doesn't demand that this man trust him. He doesn't demand this man to come and trust him. He gently invites him. He gently asks him. He speaks tenderly to him. Wilt thou that I make you whole? Wilt thou? Is that what you would choose? Would you choose that? I want to tell you, you and I must be, when the gospel was presented to you and to me, we had to personally respond ourselves. No man, nobody can help you. We must respond to the voice or the phone of Jesus. Christ is a gentleman. He knocks and you have to open. You ever look at the pictures of those paintings of Jesus standing at the door and knocking? I'm not saying they're a real accurate picture because he wasn't blonde-haired and long-haired and a Gentile. He was a Jew, dark-complected, dark hair probably. Maybe even red hair. David had red hair. He was ready. But if you look at those pictures of Jesus standing at the door knocking, there's one thing that's not in the painting. Anybody know what it is? Door handle. You're right. There's not a door handle on that picture. Typifying that Jesus isn't going to just come in. He's waiting for you from the other side to open it up to receive him. And here he is with this man. A picture of that, if you would. Wilt thou be made whole? You want to be changed? The man says, wilt thou be whole? He says, I will. And we must be willing to respond. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is always saving people by grace. Here's the five porches of grace. Here's the house of kindness that he enters into. And it's all the gift of God. What this man, after 38 years, was about to receive was a gift from God. Do you want to receive the free gift? I do. He says, rise up. Folks, we're talking about the authority of the Word of God. 38 years he's been laying down. And God says, rise up. Take up your bed and walk. There was no therapy. There was no going into, what do they call it, rehab. He was laying there. I thought about laying on the ground for y'all. And he simply got up from off the ground, grabbed his bed, rolled it up, put it under his arm, and he left. I tell you what, when a person is changed, they don't hang out at the same place that they were found. Why hang around here? There's nothing needed for me here. I'm going out there now. And we need to, when God changes us and allows us to rise up and walk, we need to pack up and we need to move. And we need to become that new creature in Christ by the grace of God and by the gift of God. And it's all the gift of God. He offers salvation. He gives us even the faith to believe it, you know. Yes, I will. Revelation chapter 22, which is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, says in verse number 17, he says, Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Jesus, in the last book of the Bible, in the last chapter of the Bible, is still offering an invitation to mankind to come and freely drink. Do you want to be made whole? He's still offering the free gift of salvation, even as he is closing out his revelation. And I'll tell you what, when we say, when Jesus says, whosoever will, and we say, I will, it's an incredible thing. There's a changed life that takes place. As a matter of fact, the word whosoever means whatsoever, whatever person there is a whosoever. It's not just talking about the elect. Well, a lot of people say, well, the whosoever is the elect. No, I didn't say that. Didn't even say it in the Greek. Whosoever means in the Greek, whatever person. In other words, no one is excluded. I was sharing with some of the guys earlier, and we were talking about, I think I talked with Brother Herb a little bit, and Mike a little bit later. When you read in Isaiah 42, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah is writing about, is being used by God to write, and God the Father is speaking about God the Son, so it's a prophetic statement. And in the New Testament, you find where it says that Jesus is like that. He's not like a broken flax smoking flax and a broken reed. So it speaks about him in Isaiah 42 about that. In Isaiah 42, in verse number 1, God the Father is speaking about his Son. He calls him my servant, mine elect. Jesus is God the Father's elect? God the Father said he was. Now think about this when you talk with your Calvinist friends. God the Father said, he's my servant, he's mine elect. Jesus is the elect, the chosen of God. Now when you begin to read about being part of the elect, the Bible talks about the foreknowledge of God that brings about the election. So God in eternity past, he knew that I was going to be born on February 10th, 1958. He knew that when the gospel was presented to me in June of 1979, he knew that I would say, I will, I want to be made whole. And he knew that I would be saved. He knew that I would show repentance towards God and faith toward who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And when I received Christ as my Savior, I was placed in, if any man be what? In Christ. God the Father took and placed me in Christ, who is God's what? When you're in Christ, you are in the elect because Jesus is God's elect. It's an incredible thing if we slow down and study it out. It's real simple. And the whosoever, no one is excluded. Whosoever, matter of fact, he says this, whosoever will. It talks about the faculty of our conscience and our thinking. The will here is talking about that you and I have to deliberate between what was offered and an action to take. As that man's laying there, he's looking up from the ground, and Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? He's asking to deliberate, think about his condition. God always wants us to think about our condition and the opportunity that we have to be made whole. And he says, I will. That guy was laying on his back. I will. And Jesus says, rise up. And man, he got up, grabbed his stuff, and left. So we have his weakness, we have his will, and we have his walk. The Bible tells us in verses 7, 8, and 9 that the man got up and walked. You know why he got up and walked? Because God had made him whole. If God had not made him whole, he would not be up walking. Now, let's bring that back to us. How many of us say that we're saved by grace? Say amen. Amen. That means we were this man at one time, if you would, okay, in a picture or setting. There was a time when you and I was on our backside and we had no man to help us. Jesus come along and chose, come to us and asked us, wilt thou be made whole? And you said, I will. And he says to you, rise up and walk. And you were able to rise up and walk because of God. Not because of yourself, not because of anybody else, not even because of the angel, but because of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the church here, a good mature group of believers who know God, that love God. And watch what he does here with them. In chapter 2 of Colossians, look at verse number 6. In Colossians chapter 2, look what he says to them. He says here in Colossians 2, 6, he reminds them, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What's the next part say, everybody? So walk ye in Him. You know what? My spiritual walk is only based upon what God has done for me. Just as you received Jesus Christ, just as that man accepted what Christ offered, Christ told him, rise up and walk. By the way, that would be a walk of newness of life. Wouldn't you think so after 38 years? And now, because I've been dead in my trespasses and sins, you hath he quickened. And he tells us to rise up and walk. And notice what he says here clearly. So walk ye in Him. He's not only the power to raise me up, He's the power that gives me the ability to walk in Him. The Lord Jesus says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I wonder how many of us have done exactly what He told us to do. Are you walking in Christ today? Are you walking by faith today? Are you walking with the Lord? One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah 6, 8 gives us three things that God wants us to do. In Micah 6, 8, he says, I have showed you, O man, what does the Lord require of thee? There's a requirement. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, love mercy, listen, and to walk humbly with thy God. Paul reminded them of their humble walk because it was by the grace that God raised them up to enjoy this life. And sometimes we see people that get saved and they think that it was because God needed them. God doesn't need any of us. You know how I know that? Because there was an eternity past when He didn't have any of us. And He was doing quite well. Why would you want to linger at the pool of Bethesda? Why would you want to linger where you were healed and made whole from? It's time to go on to new places. The great physician not only healed this man, but I believe he also saved this man's soul. Because when Jesus found him, he was in the place that he should have been. He was in the temple. In the house of his God. Now I could camp on that for a while, but I'm not. That's enough. May we preach the gospel. You know why? Because there are sick people out there. Weak people out there. Impotent people out there. People that are dead in their trespasses and sins. People that are, like you and I, without strength. Without strength, they're lost in their sin. And when we present a gospel tract or share a personal witness with them through the Word of God, we are presenting one and one thing only, Jesus Christ, the person who can make them whole. Andrew first go and findeth his brother Peter, and he brings his brother Peter to Andrew and says, because we have found him, the Christ, the Messiah. And Peter comes and sees them, and he introduced his brother. I tell you what, if you have a family member that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, you ought to introduce them to Jesus. And you ought to waste no time to do it. Amen? God help us all. If you're walking as you should be walking, you are giving evidence. Listen, you're giving evidence that God has made you whole. That guy's walking around and he's excited. Wait. And then you got the religious critics, you know. You're not. It's the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be carrying stuff on the Sabbath. He that made me whole. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? And they were ready to, and quick to start condemning Christ for doing a great, great miracle. Has he done a great miracle for you? May your walk display the change. May you walk in Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we humbly come before Thee and we thank You for Your love and mercy. I thank You, Lord, for the free gift of God. I thank You for that day when You asked each one of us if we would desire to be made whole. And Lord, I don't know. I'm assuming that everyone here tonight has received Christ as their Savior. Our walk, our place of where we hang around will have changed. It'll be evidence to the new life. Evidence of the new birth is the new life. And Lord, if there's anyone here today, we always assume that everybody's saved. And yet not, maybe not so. Your Spirit, You said, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. If we don't have the witness of the Spirit, may we not hesitate to humbly bow before You and call upon You. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Add Your blessing, dear Father, on the fellowship that will follow, and use Your word to encourage us of what great things You're wanting to use us for in sharing this good news that Christ receiveth sinful men. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.